Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Many of you, when you're singing the Lord's Prayer, actually pay attention to the vibration that's happening in your body as you're singing it. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have a great voice or not. It's just that if you're saying those words, how many felt that? You can feel that vibration every time. Yeah, that's really important. Yeah. So, you know, today we're going to, a lot of today is going to be around helping us to work with this event that happened in Las Vegas. James Twyman talks about this concept that, or this idea that there are a group of people, is the best way I can describe it, mystics, who do nothing but hold the consciousness of the planet. And he said, if they were not doing what they are due, what we see in terms of turmoil in the planet would be far worse. Okay? So he talks about this idea of the art of peacemaking, or becoming a peacemaker. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, this idea of being a peacemaker. And just to try to help you understand this process, you say, well, why do things like that happen? Well, there's a multitude of reasons beyond gun control and all the other things that we talk about on a, you know, secular level. But you got to understand that we live and breathe and have our being in this consciousness that the scientists call the ethers, or more recently the unified field, or what Jesus called the kingdom of the heavens. Okay. And the idea is that every time we have a thought, it enters into that vibration. So whenever we are angry or upset or frustrated or whatever, we send that energy into that court, exactly, in which we live and breathe and have our being. People, most of us, you know, we were talking in the class about the id, the ego, and the superego. The id is what would cause somebody to do what happened in Vegas. But the superego, for most of us, keeps us from responding to the negative dynamics that happen within us. But there are people who pick up that energy. We all pick up the energy, but there are people who pick up that energy and accumulates within them, and then eventually they explode. So when we look and say, why did that person do that, we have to understand that we had something to do with creating that person. Is everybody following me? Okay. So to become a peacemaker is you're joining this highly evolved consciousness of people who do nothing but operate at such a high level that they are always creating peace. And a true peacemaker in your individual environments, when you go to work or you're on the bus or on the train or you're driving in traffic or whatever, because you are a peacemaker, when you step into that environment, people around you are now picking up your peacefulness. Is that, you with me? Okay. As opposed to you contributing to the chaos because you allowed yourself to fall into that feeling of what whatever is happening. Is it, you with me? Okay. So, and I perceive everyone here as being a peacemaker. I know that's in your heart, soul, and spirit. That's why you know, we're all together working on this idea. But there are aspects of our being that we need to work on, right? And that's what these talks have been about. So this psychology in the parables that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about an aspect of our being that's keeping us from awakening spiritually and being able to function at a higher level as a peacemaker. Is that okay? So in this particular lesson, we're going to go and explore this rigid thinking that's holding us back from spiritual awakening. And an essential ingredient to our spiritual growth is the development of a fluid consciousness. We want our thinking to be flexible, adaptable, open, receptive, willing, approachable. We want our minds to be accessible, defenseless, vulnerable, and available to spirit. Right now, we don't realize we have a defense mechanism against spirit. Because spirit will always tell us the loving thing to do, the wise thing to do, the faithful thing to do. But we have a defense mechanism against that, if it goes against what we want to do. You know, we understand not thy will, but, you know, not my will, but thine be done. But we're always saying, no, not thy will, but mine be done. Right? So we want to develop this flexible concept where we are more open to spirit. We want our thinking to be expandable so that with every thought, we're evolving towards understanding the truth that's embedded in everything that we are experiencing. It's recorded in Matthew 5:20 that Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So the scribes and the Pharisees, he saw them as being closed-minded. Their thinking was stuck in a religious, dogmatic psychology. All right? And you can see in Scripture, he's always saying, scribes and the Pharisees. Right? So as we explored in last week's lesson, we are each stuck in our own psychology, meaning the psychological approach we have to the experiences in our lives. So this discussion is not about whether or not we are stuck. This discussion will be concerned about how do we become unstuck. Okay? So as a backdrop, I'm going to, let me just read this. It says, this is a daily reading that comes up in one of the things I do, and it's a little bit long, but just listen to it. The characteristics of a disciple is not that he does good things, but that he is good in his motives, having been made good by the spiritual grace of God. The only thing that exceeds right doing is right being. And Jesus Christ came to place within everyone who would let him a new heredity that would have a righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus is saying to us, if you are my disciple, you must be right not only in your actions, but also in your motives, your aspirations, and in the deep recesses in the thoughts of your mind. Your motives must be so pure that God Almighty can see nothing to rebuke. Now, who can stand in the eternal light of God and have nothing for God to rebuke? Only the Son of God, and Jesus Christ claims that through his redemption, he can place within anyone his own nature and make that person as pure and as simple as a child. The purity that God demands within each of us is impossible unless we can be remade from within, and that is exactly what Jesus has undertaken to do through his redemption. Okay? No one can make himself pure by just obeying laws. Jesus Christ does not give us rules and regulations. He gives us teachings, which are truths that can only be interpreted by his nature, which he places within us. The great wonder of Jesus Christ's salvation is that he changes our heredity. He does not change our human nature. He changes the source from which we receive information and therefore our motives as well. That's a powerful reading. Okay? So this whole journey is about how do we become unstuck so that we are free to receive the glory that Christ is working to instill within us. And the word instill means gradually but firmly established. So that means that Jesus is gradually but firmly instilling this consciousness within us, okay, or the Christ if you prefer. Now, last week we explored the idea of being stuck in an old psychology, okay? And again, in our Prosperity Plus class, we looked at a chart, the map of consciousness, where, you know, that you're talking about changing your psychology. Dr. David Hawkins starts out at a very low, some of you heard me talk about this, of shame and guilt and blame and, you know, all those things. We go anger until you get up to this level of 200, where you can at least be mentally strong enough to maintain yourself from responding to those lower levels of psychology. Does that make sense? Okay. So when we see these things in the news, that's an indication of someone who has not reached that level of 200 and could not refrain from reacting to these lower level psychologies. Are you with me? Okay. So we're talking about how do I become, and most of us are stuck in our psychology. And unfortunately, the older we are, the more stuck we are. because we've been stuck there for a long time. Okay? So this is about how do I change and become unstuck. Okay? So being stuck has characteristics similar to being asleep. Usually when we're asleep, we do not know that we're asleep until something wakes us up. You know, I had a dream last night. I meant to tell you, I had a dream last night. I could hear Adina going, "Daddy, Daddy." And I woke up and I go, "Well, let me go into her room and see what's going on." And I realized, wait a minute, Adina's grown and gone. Okay. But while I was having the dream, it was real. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So being stuck is like being asleep. And you don't even know that you're asleep until you wake up. So usually we don't know. So the key here is that we find ourselves operating from erroneous perceptions about something or someone in our life and what we're experiencing through that person, all right? So here's an example, and it's, this is back in the time when Pam's mother and my mother were still alive. So I was having a conversation with my mother, telling her about all the things we were doing to try to get Pam's mother into an assisted living facility. And my mother made this statement, "Well, I wish you had helped me get your father into a place that was closer so I wouldn't have to drive so far." She was upset about that, obviously. So I shifted the conversation to another subject, and then we hung up. Later, she called back, and she said she was standing at the kitchen sink when, just as clear as if somebody was in the room speaking to her, she heard the Holy Spirit say to her, "You should remember I put him in that nursing home. I told you the day that you walked into Harmony Hall that this is where he was supposed to be." She said it was so clear in her mind. So when my mother made that statement, "You did not help me," she was operating from an erroneous perception. She forgot just for a moment that no matter what any of us wanted, God knew the perfect place for my father, and all our efforts led us to that perfect place. Okay? Now, fortunately, my mother was in a place where she was, spiritually evolved enough where she was willing to allow Jesus Christ to change her heredity, to change the source from which she received her information and her guidance. Does that make sense? Okay. And so our heredity is really of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. But having forgotten this, we slipped into an erroneous perception of believing that our heredity is only human. But whenever we are able to let go of our erroneous perceptions, even if it is just for a moment, the moment that we let go, the Holy Spirit steps in and changes our heredity from ego to spirit, from crisis thinking to Christ thinking. Okay? And that's what we want. We want to, because we can't change ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. So we need to become open, receptive, fluid, vulnerable to spirit so that spirit can step in and make that change. And in that moment, we go from illusion to truth. In that moment, we're able to see the love that is possible. In that moment, we're able to see the healing that is possible. In that moment, we're able to see the prosperity that is possible. In that moment, we're able to experience what happens when we choose to live by faith and compassion instead of fear and condemnation. This is our moment of awakening. And if only we could hold on to those moments, if only we could stay awake, right? Because we do have moments of awakening. And we say, "Wow, that was wonderful." We tell each other about it, and then we go back to sleep, right? Okay, so. And when we slip back into the erroneous perceptions, that causes our illusion of turmoil and sickness and lack and limitation or conflict in our relationships. You know, this is a time again when we are asleep again, asleep to the truth of who we really are. And in times of trouble, think to yourself, "God is my true reality." So you hear, your erroneous perception said, "Oh, this is going on." And then you have to pull yourself back and say, "No, God is my true reality. Anything less than the good that God is based on my erroneous perception. In this moment, I am asleep to my true reality." So it's not that you're not going to respond to what is happening. It's that you're going to say, "That's an erroneous perception. It appears to be a real perception because it is a fact, but it is not the truth." Exactly. And that's kind of hard to separate that dynamic, isn't it? All right? Of how do I stay in this very, very high state of consciousness? So real truth transcends erroneous perception. The truth that God is transcends our erroneous perceptions. So where we might be feeling hurt or afraid or angry or dismayed, where we might be struggling with someone in a relationship or struggling with our health or our finances or a project at work or whatever we're struggling with, you know, when are we going to get our right spiritual home, right? Okay? Whatever we are struggling with, the real truth is that God, in God, there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. There is a knowing that knows the answer to our dilemma or question even before we ask. And that's what we always want to hold on to. So in essence, when our lives are troubled, we are struggling with the illusion of separation while swimming in the life force that God is. It's like, again, you're saying to the fish, what's the problem? You're in the ocean that is sustaining you. So, is everybody following? So whenever you're struggling with something, remember you are struggling with this while you are swimming in the ocean from which you receive all that you need. So it's sort of like taking your mind off of the thing you're struggling with and back to the space that you know you're in. I am in God, and I am open and receptive to this divine process flowing through me. You have to become fluid, vulnerable, open, receptive to receiving this, which means in that moment you have to change your psychology, which says, oh, in this case, now I don't know how this is going to work out. You're right? It's a conscious process that you always have to be aware of, okay? And for example, when my mother was mindlessly standing at the kitchen sink, her mind was still, unburdened. Her mind was fluid, impressionable, accessible, vulnerable, and available to the Holy Spirit. And in her mindlessness of external reality, she became available, open, receptive to internal reality, which is where she heard the guidance of the living Spirit of God speaking to her. All right? But when we're stuck in our psychology, God is speaking, we ain't listening. We can't even hear that it's going on. All right? So it's learning how to let go and let that process unfold. So if you are still wondering, how do I become aware of my internal reality? It is by being able to let go of your old reality, your old psychology, your old way of thinking and being, okay? And most of us know what that is. We know how we react to what is happening in our lives, right? And it's a matter of, okay, there I go again. Let me let go and let God, okay? And pick, you always hear me say this, pick whatever for you helps you to do that. You know, if it's going out and working in your garden or taking a walk or, you know, whatever it might be, pick whatever it is for you that helps you to let go, okay? So your practice of letting go by being willing to let go of external awareness and going within with the compassion in your heart for the people in your life, a true feeling of thanksgiving for the good in your life, a sense of love and appreciation for the divine connection with you have with the Holy Spirit. So this stuff happens, you kind of go, oh, God, what was that about? But then, remember trying to keep a what? A high watch. Okay? And yes, this doesn't say that your heart doesn't go out to whatever it is you're seeing, okay, experiencing. But then you have to keep that. The choir sang this morning about, what was it? Huh? Peace is all I know. But you said, oh, it was a reading about staying on my center. What was it I heard this morning? Somebody read it from the Daily Word or something? Yes, about, you know, staying on the center. We want to stay on our center, okay? And that takes work. So our work is to travel throughout the recesses of our mind and bring all of our thoughts into alignment with Spirit. Let me say it again. Our work is to travel throughout the recesses of our mind and bring all of our thoughts back into alignment with Spirit. Now, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always and to the end of the age. Now, when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, metaphysically the word nations is representing the multitude of thoughts in our mind that are stuck in a certain belief or a certain way of being. And as we have been saying, they're stuck in an old psychology. So Jesus is saying, he's not saying that we physically have to go out to all these other places. He said, you need to start working right in your own head. You're right? All the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you're baptizing all the thoughts in your own consciousness. Can you begin to envision that? You know, some of the stuff we're thinking about? You know, that's going through our minds and say, oh, no, let me get some water and dunk you in this. Right? Okay? And so that's a real, see, it, and what we do here is we try to get to a real working process at this. Not that you just hear some theory that you can go out and tell other people, but some working ideas about how this, you know, this is to happen. So Jesus instructed us to baptize these thoughts in the name and nature of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching our thoughts to obey everything that the Christ has commanded. Okay? And how do you baptize your thoughts? In your practice of stillness, during your prayer, meditation, or a spiritual contemplation, allow the Christ to give you a new heredity. And this is an appropriate statement because many people believe that the problems that they have came from their parents or someone else whom they inherited an emotional state, an addictive behavior, or some negative way of being. Am I right? All right? You know, we'll say, oh, I'm the way, and we might not actually say, but oh, I'm the way I am because of. Okay? And that's an external heredity that we are. You know, it's this again, like, you know, our co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, when she heard, you know, we say that as a child of God, you do not inherit sickness, because in that time they believed they would inherit tuberculosis. And he says, no, 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 you do not inherit sickness. Now, your consciousness can grab onto the idea that because my parents were this, I am going to be this. But he was saying, no, that's not the way it really happens. Okay? Your inheritance comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from God, from whom you are made in likeness and image. So this, if this is your belief, dedicate yourself in your prayer time to open yourself to inherit a new mind, the mind of Christ. The key to inheriting the mind of Christ is to be willing to let go of your old psychology, is being willing to be unstuck. And I emphasize that because most of us are not willing to be unstuck. This is the way I am. Like it or leave it. Right? It's tough to let go of that old way of being that we've been going through for most of our lives. Okay? So in your day-to-day activities and relationships, ask yourself, this thing that I'm about to do or say, am I stuck in how I am perceiving this person or situation? Am I willing to see this thing, this activity, this person in a different way? It's at least when you ask the question, even if you respond the way you always respond, at least you stopped to ask the question, which lets your ego know that it is on notice, that you're aware of how you normally do things. And your ego don't like for you to know, because it likes for you to kind of stay asleep and let it do what it does. But the fact that you are questioning yourself, that puts the ego on notice, that you're aware that you do these things. It might take me some time to change, but this is how I respond, all right? And the ego's going, oh boy, my days are numbered, okay? So, and again, you know, if you're willing to do that, to open up to this process, you find a whole new dynamic happening within you. You want to let go and let God. This should be our mantra for every experience and every relationship we have. We should never allow our beliefs about what we think is the only reality, the only possibility, to become stuck or fixed in our minds. Everybody get that? You know, stuff is going to, oh man, well that's the way it is. No, because with God, what? All things are possible, okay? We should always be open and receptive to a higher and greater possibility, a higher and greater reality than what we're experiencing or what is we're expecting. And that's why Jesus said to us in John 14:6, and I think I said this last week and the week before, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And by Father, he's referring to the Father principle. Now, the revealing word says the Father principle is the exact, immutable, unchangeable principle of God, the true mind of the universe. And this mind is composed of the archetype ideas of abundant life, unconditional love, infinite wisdom, creative substance, absolute truth, power, peace, order, and so on. So what that says, when we say God is love, yes, God loves us, but it loves us through the action of the Holy Spirit within us. But God itself just is love. It's an unchangeable nature. God is life. God is, you know, all these things we say, God just is. God can, as Eric Butterworth said, if God could be love one moment and hate another, God would need therapy. Right? But God is, and what God is cannot be changed. The Father principle is the omnipresent law of the universe and is not subject to change or open to argument. And boy, do we like to argue, right? So when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he is saying to us that his teachings are the way to understanding the Father principle, the internal reality, the divine solution to everything that is happening in our lives, all right? And as I read in the beginning, Jesus Christ came to place within anyone who would let him a new heredity. The great wonder of Jesus Christ's salvation is that he changes our heredity. He does not change our human nature. He changes the source from which we receive information, and therefore our motives change as well. You see what I'm saying? So he doesn't come and say, man, you really messed up. Let me change you. What he changes is the source from which we get our information. And then when we get our information from this new higher source, then our humanity changes on its own. Does that make sense? Okay. And that's a more natural process. He opens up another channel for us to receive information from within. And by receiving that divine guidance, it changes how we show up in the world. That's really powerful to think about. Okay. So I'm going to end with another reading from Science of Mind magazine, October 7th and 8th combined. The divine dwelling place within me is a place of beauty and peace, of strength and wisdom. I see all about me, in all about me, the fullness of life. In peace I treasure it. In peace I enter into it. And so it is. Amen.